Today's scripture reading will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. The scripture reads, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Hello and good morning. I'm glad to see every one of you here on this first day of the week. Thanks be to God for another day. And what better place to be than amongst the people of God, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to give reverence to His holy name, and to be able to learn about Him. I want to thank the visitors that are here, and it's also good to see the brethren here as well. And if you're an erring child of God and you're here this morning, we're glad to see you, brother or sister. And so with that being said, this month's lessons have been over the promises of God. And, well, one of the promises of God is the judgment day. And as was read in our text, the scoffers, they would ask the question, where is the promise of his coming? Jesus has promised that he will come. And so we're going to be looking at this text, and we're going to learn about the day of the Lord. If you'll please meet me in the second epistle of Peter, we'll start at verse 1. And as a matter of fact, I want to give an introduction before we jump into the text. Now, the things that I have written by way of introduction is this: Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of our Lord Jesus and Savior, Jesus Christ, he wrote both of his epistles to the dispersion, that is, Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad throughout the ancient Roman Empire. That's as shown back in 1 Peter 1, verse 1. In them, in these epistles, he wrote to stir up the pure minds of these brethren by putting them in remembrance. The heavenly author desired these Christians, to be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of Peter and the other apostles of the Lord and Savior. Let us take heed to these words of inspiration, being reminded of the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men which is to come. And let us remember how we ought to be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. All right, let's begin with verse 1. Notice what the scripture says. Beloved, and I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I write to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And so right here, Peter, he gives his purpose for writing both of these epistles to be able to stir up the minds of the brethren. And I know that we all could use a good stirring up every once in a while. Well, what are some things that we need to be stirred up about? Holiness, righteousness, self-control, persevering. Even though these days they get very, very difficult, we go through various trials, as our brother James would write. And so we want to be able to get stirred up by what Peter has wrote. Now, verse 3. Notice what the scripture here says. Knowing this first, that scoffers or mockers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, here it is, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they did from the creation of the world, from the beginning of the creation. And so right here, we learn that these mockers, they were scoffing. They were thinking that the apostles and the prophets were joking around. This reminds me of the book of Genesis. And how that Lot, he told his son-in-laws that the city of Sodom was going to get destroyed. And they thought that he was joking around, according to Genesis 19 verse 14. But we know Lot was not joking around, and it happened just as the Lord had said. And why? Because he couldn't find 10 righteous souls in that city, of which some scholar has estimated to be over 600 thousand, and it was destroyed. The unsparing God, he kept his word. And so also will people in these last days scoff in regard to the promise of his coming. Let us never forget how the Lord has promised that he will come again. We know those famous words which Jesus spoke in John chapter 14. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let us not forget his promise. Now let's pick up in verse 5. Notice what the scripture says. It says, for this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This makes me think about how the first time that the Lord destroyed the earth, he did so by means of a global flood. And why did he do it? Because the wickedness of man was great in the earth. In the book of Genesis, it says that the Lord, he looked down upon the earth, and he saw that man's wickedness was great, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually, and it grieved the Lord that he had made man, and he was sorry in his heart. You know what that teaches us? That our prayer ought to be, Father, help us to purge out of our heart everything that breaks yours. We do not want to be caught up as those people were in that ancient world. Because you remember Jesus, whenever he was talking about that final day, he says, but that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And as in the days of Noah, as they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So we don't want to be caught unprepared. And as we continue reading through this text, let's pick up in verse 8. In verse 8, notice what the scripture says. But beloved, do not forget, the King James says, beloved, do not be ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so right here we learn that the Lord is long-suffering, and thankfully so, because he has given men and women time and space to repent so that they don't die in their sins, put it frankly. And from here we learn that the Lord does not operate on our timetable. There's a reference verse, it's in the book of Psalms. It says, for a thousand years are like yesterday when they are past, and like a watch in the night. Psalm 90 verse 4. And so, again, the Lord does not operate on our timetable. We can't put the day of the Lord on a calendar and say that's when it's going to be. No. We got to be prepared. We got to watch always. And so he could come at any minute. He could even come right now. And in 1 Thessalonians, and we know that in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the overarching theme is that of the second coming. And Paul, when writing to those brethren, he would say, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pangs upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the first three verses. So we got to be prepared. Now, I know that it says verses 1 through 9, but we're actually going to keep on going. Let's go to verse 10. Now this, put your seatbelts on right here. The scripture says, but the day of the Lord will so come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And then he asks this important question. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Right here, I want to mention a few things that will happen upon Christ's return, one of which is all the dead will be raised. Jesus, in John chapter 5, whenever he was speaking, he said, do not marvel, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they will be raised. Those who have done good to the resurrection of the just, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And also, upon Christ's return, every eye shall see him. The book of Revelation begins, and it says, behold, he is coming with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. And that ties perfectly well with when Jesus had ascended, after he had spoke with his apostles. When they were standing, gazing up into heaven, two men appeared to them in white clothing, bright clothing, saying, why do you look into heaven? This same Jesus whom you saw go into heaven, he will so come in like manner as you saw him go. In the book of Revelation, it says that he is coming with a cloud. Another one. The scripture says that upon Christ's return, he will take vengeance on the wicked. In the second epistle to the Thessalonians, it says that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will give rest to those of us who are troubled, and he will also come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says that these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, because our testimony among you was believed. And also in another place, on the day of the Lord, upon Christ's return, it says he will reward everyone according to their work. At the close of the New Testament, we have written these words from the Alpha, from the Omega, from the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, even to give to every man according to his works." And then later, almost at the close of the scriptures, he says, "Surely I am coming." And so we ought to be saying, as our beloved brother Paul wrote at the end of the first epistle to the Corinthians, he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. And so with these things being said, in eager expectation of the second coming, we must be holy in our conduct and have great godliness. Peter, in his first epistle, he says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" And that scripture right there comes from the Old Testament. It's a reference from the book of Leviticus, which deals with holiness to the Lord. And in that context, it was so that they could be able to distinguish between what is clean and what is not clean, and what is holy and what is not holy. And so, he who is holy, let him continue to be holy. He who is righteous, let him continue to be righteous. But he who is filthy, let him continue to be filthy, as mentioned in Revelation as well. And we learn that only the righteous will be able to be with God for all eternity. Jesus, in that judgment scene of Matthew chapter 25, he says, "Then these, the unrighteous, will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And we don't want to hear from him, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you." We want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, let us be going to verse 14 now. And let's notice what the scripture says. The scripture says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, speaking in them," or it says, "as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Let's go back and look at some of heaven's exhortations in light of the second coming. There's four I want to key in on, and they're actually commands as well. The first one is in verse 14. The command, it says, "Be diligent. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent." Now, this is nothing new in Peter's writing. As a matter of fact, in chapter 1, he says to be diligent as well. In chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, what does he tell us to be diligent in? He says to be diligent in adding to your faith. He says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. He says, "For if these things be in you and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." He says, "Therefore, given even more diligence, He says, be sure to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here we find something very interesting. We know over there in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. And he says, there be few that find it. However, if we keep his word, we'll have an abundant entrance into that kingdom. And let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. The next one that I want to mention is in verse 15. Here the scripture says, after he says, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, he says, and consider that the long suffering of God is salvation. He says, count the long suffering of God as if it were salvation. And that's what we need to be doing. In the next place, he says for us to beware. Please drop down with me to verse 17. The scripture here says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, he says, beware. Beware of what? Well, in chapter 2, we learn that he teaches us about, or he actually warns us about false teachers. That's what he spends nearly the whole second chapter dealing with. And he says in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and this is something that we need to beware of, because it's in the scriptures for a reason. And I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the scripture says that they, and the they in that context is referring to brethren, that they, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and be turned aside unto fables, because they just want someone to tell them what they want to hear. And so we must beware of false teachings, and we should never want to hear it. Now in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Cephas says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And he says, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth shall be blasphemed. And it says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not sleep. Here we see these destructive doctrines. Drop down with me to verse 18, and please take this in right here. The scripture says, in reference to these false teachers, and remember that this is brethren right here that's being wrote about. So we got to keep our eyes peeled whenever we go to any different congregations. I mean, I have encountered some whenever I was out preaching, and he was there in the pew, and he's just spewing this nonsense. And he was a well-known brother in that congregation. No, we gotta be careful. Now, verse 18. Notice what the scripture says. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, those who have actually escaped, those who live in error. It says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, by whom a person is overcome, by the same he is also brought into bondage. And notice, we got to take heed to this right here. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are again entangled in them and overcome, he says, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog goes back to his own vomit, and a sow having washed or wallowing in the mire. We got to be careful of false teachers. We got to beware, as our beloved brother Peter wrote right here. Now, the fourth one that I want to mention in the text is found in verse 18, the last verse of the chapter. In verse 18, the scripture says, but grow. That's a commandment. We got to continually be growing. And that's actually an exhortation. And remember that God, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness right here in the scriptures. And so a Christian, he must be adding to his faith knowledge on a daily basis. On a daily basis. And that's one of the first things that Peter would write to these brethren, saying that they need to add to their faith. He says, but giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Oh, and it's wonderful. You think about just waking up in the morning and you make yourself a pot of coffee and you just start drinking it and you're reading the word too. Or maybe you're a tea type of person. Or maybe you just want to drink some water. I don't know. Whatever. Just waking up and reading the Word of God. Maybe you even have it on audio, listening to it. Maybe you even have your spouse reading it to you. Just imbibing the Word of God. Thoroughly digesting it. The next one. A Christian ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, the scripture says that we need to be laying aside all filthiness, all wickedness, all deceit, evil speaking, all malice, and all hypocrisy. And it says, and desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby unto salvation, if indeed you have heard that the Lord is gracious. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. We need to be growing. We need to be growing. And I want to give you this this warning that the Hebrews writer had actually gave. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk, and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is but a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil. Now that was those who were, let's say, Christians for like 30s or some years. We ought not to grow stagnant. We ought to keep on growing. And I thank you, Mr. Shirtle, for the songs that you sung. I mean, they were just amazing. Knowing about what the Lord has done for us. And why wouldn't we want to learn more about Him, about His Word, about how to live? So let me give you this word of exhortation from the book of Philippians. Paul, when writing to the Philippians, he would say, and I'm saying these same things to you, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy from your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And also, in the book of Ephesians, the scripture says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as the rest of the Gentiles do, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. It says, being alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And he says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have been taught by him and have heard him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Remember what God has done for you. Let us continue to grow in His Word, and then also the application of it, because the knowledge of it is only half of it. The other half is applying it. And I can know as much Bible as possible, but if I don't apply a single verse, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to go straight to hell. Because we got to apply it. So someone who knows five verses and who can apply all five of them is better than someone who knows 1,000 and can't apply none of them. Apply the Word after you've studied it. Now, the next one is when it comes to growing in knowledge. It says that God has gone to great lengths to preserve His Word for our benefit. You know how much sweat, blood, and tears have went into getting this inspired message to us? In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that some were tortured. They were sawn in half, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. We ought to cherish it. We ought not to just let it just sit there on the coffee table, just collecting dust as it is in some homes in America. No, we want to use it. And I've heard it said that if you see someone with a Bible that's falling apart, you can be assured that they're most likely not falling apart. Now, that's just the general saying. It's not exact. The next one says, as Simon, the son of Jonah, endeavored to ensure that the brethren were always going to be put in remembrance, so must you and I remind our brothers and sisters in Christ about the word of the Lord. Where are you getting that from, Leon? Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. This is about growing in knowledge. And here we're going to learn about the source of Christian knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12, the scripture says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." And well, his words came to pass, who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. We do have a reminder of the words that he said. And I just want to remind you that Peter, he kept his word, which he made with Jesus at the end of the book of John, whenever Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And he said, "I will feed your sheep, Lord." He kept that. Simon demonstrated his love for the Lord in that after his decease, he made sure that the flock was going to be fed. Let's go there. Let's go to John chapter 21 and let's read this heartwarming, this challenging scripture. John 21, beginning at verse 15. Now let's hear the word of God speak. This is Jesus after he had resurrected and was appeared to his apostles. And just listen to the heart of it, please. Verse 15 says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to him, 'Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" And so, right there, we learn that Peter, he demonstrated his love for the Lord. And so, we need to be constantly growing. And I was reading an article last week, and it said that there were some, I think it was pelicans, and they were on this seashore, maybe in like Los Angeles or something like that. And it says that they just started to die. They started to die off. And they learned that the reason was because the fishermen, they stopped throwing away the scraps. And so because they were spoiled, they didn't know how to go out and get their own food. So what they had to do was go and import some wild pelicans to come and to set an example to them, to show them, to instruct them how to go and catch fish so that they could eat. What's the modern day application? Whenever it comes to the Word of God, we can't be having the preacher or the teachers be our main source of a spiritual diet. We got to go out and get it. We got to go out and read. We got to go out and study. And I know we emphasize studying, and rightfully so. We also need to emphasize reading. Oh, it's amazing just to read the Word of God. Because though it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study, before that in 1 Timothy it says, give attendance to reading. We got to read. We got to study. Because we don't want to shrivel up and die spiritually. The book of Amos says that there's a famine in the land. Not of bread and of water, but of the Word of God. And a spiritual famine is the worst famine that there can ever be. And so, with that being said, that was really preparation for the day of the Lord. Because some people, they may think, oh, I was baptized, I got my ticket punched on the gravy train to heaven, if I could say it that way, without being crude. But no, that's not true. That's just the beginning of your walk with God. You got to be faithful unto death. And Jesus said, I'll give you the crown of life. And so in closing, after considering these words which Simon the son of Andrew wrote, let us take this great forewarning to heart, always keeping the promise of our Lord's coming in the forefront of our mind. And let us also grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have a charge for every one of us. And that is, as righteous Lot, as he warned his sons-in-law about the sudden destruction that was to come upon the city of Sodom, let us have love for the souls of others in that we warn them of the impending doom to come. That we warn them about the second coming. And I have a poem that I want to read before I close, and then the lesson is yours. The poem goes as follows. We are told that a great day is coming when the stars shall like banners be furled. But would you be prepared for the judgment if today were the end of the world? This old world shall not roll on forever, nor the moon like a banner unfurled. Then suppose, just suppose for a moment, that today were the end of the world. If the heavens were to pass away with great noise, and the elements melted with fervent heat, oh, how would it fare with you, my friend, if today were the end of the world? That's something for all of us to consider, that the day of the Lord, it is coming, and we got to be watchful. And so with that being said, I want to thank you for your time and attention. And if there's any here who are visiting, oh, we're so glad to have you. We'd actually encourage you to stay a while, or stay a bit after service. We'd love to introduce ourselves to you, to be able to get to know you. And if there's any questions, any comments that you have concerning the things that were taught either in Bible class or in the sermon, I mean, we'd love to just to talk with you about them and give you a Bible answer. And if you want to study the scriptures, oh, we're more than willing to do that. And so, won't you... Let us all stand up as we together stand and sing.